From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his first message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. Here is the revelation of the God of eternity, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this name to himself, clearly declaring his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. It is well for us that amidst all the variableness of life, there is one whom change cannot affect, one whose heart can never alter, and on whose brow mutability can make no furrows. All things else have changed. All things are changing. The sun itself grows dim with age. The world is waxing old. The folding up of the worn-out vesture has commenced. The heavens and earth must soon pass away. They shall perish. They shall wax old as doth a garment. But there is one who only hath immortality, of whose years there is no end, and in whose person there is no change. The delight which the mariner feels when, after having been tossed about for many a day, he steps again upon the solid shore, is the satisfaction of a Christian when, amidst all the things of this troublous life, he rests the foot of his faith upon this truth: I am the Lord, I change not. The stability which the anchor gives the ship when it has at last obtained a holdfast is like that which the Christian's hope affords him when it fixes itself upon this glorious truth. With God is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Whatever his attributes were of old, they are now. His power, his wisdom, his justice, his truth are alike unchanged. He has ever been the refuge of his people, their stronghold in the day of trouble, and he is their sure helper still. He is unchanged in his love. He has loved his people with an everlasting love. He loves them now as much as he ever did. And when all earthly things shall have melted in the last conflagration, his love will still wear the dew of its youth. Precious is the assurance that he changes not. The wheel of providence revolves, but its axle is eternal love. Death and change are busy ever. Man decays, and ages move, but his mercy waneth never. God is wisdom. God is love.
Save me such confiding, for
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns begins the fourth in a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ asserted his deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. It is the name of the eternal, self-existent, never-changing God. In the Gospel of John, Christ used this name of himself seven times. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, we find the third instance of Christ's use of I Am. Although later in the passage the Savior referred to himself as the Good Shepherd, his first statement of the chapter is, I am the door. As Dr. Cairns would explain, this passage is an allegory in which Christ defines the character of under-shepherds or pastors, as well as the significance of the fold. According to the Savior's explanation, the fold contains many flocks representative of the true people of God who are under the care of under-shepherds. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own inspired and infallible word for his name's sake. This morning we continue in John chapter 10 with the statements of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning himself. I've pointed out that seven times in this gospel we have statements in which he says, I am. We started with John 8, verse 58, which actually is outside the seven. I took it as controlling all the rest. He says, before Abraham was, I am. The message being that the Lord Jesus is Jehovah. That's the message of that text. Now, there are seven places other than that in John's gospel where Jesus says what he is. He fills out the statement so that we may put all these together and have a very complete self-revelation and self-description of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10, we have two of these important I am statements of Christ. In verse 7 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. In verse 11 and verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, both of these statements were spoken as part of a discourse in which the Lord Jesus was exposing and opposing the Pharisees, who were false pastors, false shepherds among the sheep. And if you keep that in mind, I think it will help make a lot of sense of things in John 10, which people find difficult. This is one of those chapters that many of us learned by heart in Sunday school because it's counted to be, well, it's one of the simple passages of Scripture. In actual fact, almost every time I have heard a preacher preach on it, he has got into immense difficulties. He has mangled the passage and tied himself in knots. I have heard, I'm thinking of one of the greatest preachers I ever heard. And when he came to this passage I have read this morning, he was preaching away with great liberty until it became apparent, if not to him, to everybody else, that he was tying himself in knots. It's not so simple after all. I hope I haven't given a prophecy, and I hope I haven't given a description of myself this morning, because I'm very much aware of that possibility. But the important thing is to just see the outline, the structure of how this develops. In the first five verses, the Lord Jesus gives us a parable. That's how it's translated. Actually, John's gospel doesn't actually speak in the original text of a parable. That's in the synoptic gospels. There's another word here. If you were dealing with one word, the word would be translated a proverb. But since this is not one word, it's more of an allegory. Now, don't get tied up with the terms. You want to call it a parable, I'm not really going to fight with you, but there's some elements of parable that aren't here. If you want to know the difference between a parable and an allegory, it's very simple. You go back to English class. You remember you learned figures of speech. If I say of someone, well, I better be careful and say something nice. Take it biblically. If I say God's people are his sheep, I'm using a metaphor. If I say God's people are like sheep, I'm using a simile. A parable is an extended simile. An allegory is an extended metaphor. That's the difference. Now, I hope you're all a whole lot wiser and a whole lot blessed, and you'll go home saying, now, wasn't it well worthwhile going to get that little English lesson? So this is, we'll use the word allegory. Verses 1 to 5, he gives us an allegory. Verse 6 tells us they didn't understand it. So verse 7 to verse 9, he gives us the interpretation of the allegory, in which he speaks of himself as the door. Interpreting the allegory of the first 5 verses, he says, I am the door. Then in verses 10 through 18, he uses this whole statement, the allegory and its interpretation, as a launching point for the discourse about himself as the good shepherd. Now, it's very important that you remember that these two statements arise out of the same allegory, but one is the actual interpretation, that's, I am the door. The other is an extension because it's closely related, and it's a good and natural extension to make. But you must keep them separate and treat them separately and distinctly. Let me show you how important it is. In verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And because he says, I am the good shepherd, a lot of people, including that great preacher that I mentioned tying himself in knots, coming to the first part, to verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. Actually, the Greek text says is a shepherd of the sheep. But because Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, automatically we go into automatic pilot in verse 2 and say, the shepherd there must be the Lord Jesus Christ. But that would be a very wrong conclusion, and it leads to all sorts of difficulties. In verse 2, the Lord Jesus is speaking of a shepherd who enters in through the door, and Jesus says, I am the door. So you can see how difficult it is when a preacher is talking about Christ entering in through himself. So they have to say, no, in the words of the preacher I'm referring to, this is the door of prophecy. So we now have two doors in the first 5 verses. Others in church history have said, no, this is the door of Moses. Christ entered in by fulfilling the law. Theologically very true, but again, you have this monstrosity of in 5 verses a little allegory with two doors in it, without anything to tell you we're speaking of different doors at all. The simple realization is that the Lord Jesus is not speaking of himself in verse 2. He doesn't speak of himself as the shepherd until later in the chapter. In verses 7 to 9, he is speaking of himself as a door through which the shepherd and his sheep enter. So he's speaking rather not of himself in the opening part, but of the under-shepherds, his ministers, the ministers of the gospel, true pastors of his sheep. And because their work rests on his work as the chief shepherd, it's natural then he should extend the whole thing in verses 11 and 14 and speak of himself as the true shepherd. Now, that subject, the true shepherd, will wait for until next week, God willing. But today we look at the door. Now, to understand the passage, you've got to understand the allegory. It's based on the typical day in the life of a shepherd and his flock. It's probable, indeed, that it was the sight of the shepherds returning with their flocks and putting them into the sheepfold for the night that called forth this discourse from the Lord Jesus Christ. Each night, the flocks of different shepherds would be brought, and they would be entered into the sheepfold, which was a secure place, a large, unroofed enclosure with high walls around it, guarded by watchmen and a porter at the door. So each night the flocks would come, they'd be led in to the security of the sheepfold. Each morning the shepherds would come, and as each shepherd would come to the door of the fold, he would gain lawful admission. He would call the name of a sheep that was known as the leader of the flock. It would come toward him, and then the rest of that shepherd's flock would follow the leader of the flock out. He would lead them out, as Eastern shepherds did, never driving, but leading their sheep. He would lead them out under his protection to the pastures for that day. Now, based on that everyday scene, the Lord Jesus Christ here paints a picture. Actually, two little pictures. It's nighttime. The flocks have been safely placed in the fold. The door has been secured. The watchmen are at their stations, and the porter is also there. During the night, a man comes, and he tries to climb the wall. Jesus says, "This man is a thief and a robber." One speaking of his subtlety, his deceptiveness, the other speaking of his violence. This thief and robber comes aiming to steal or to kill or to destroy. That's one little picture. There's another. It is morning time. And with the coming of the morning comes another man. He comes forthrightly to the door of the sheepfold, and he is readily admitted. And he's recognized as a shepherd who has come to lead out his sheep. He utters his peculiar cry. The leader of the flock responds to that cry, and his sheep follow him out to their pasture. Those are the pictures that the Savior paints. Now, so much for the allegorical illustration. Now for the actual interpretation. The sheep are God's people. They are God's true people. I'm not going to be preaching on the sheepfold and the sheep and the flocks and even not very much on the shepherds, just a little about them. At least one peculiar angle on them. But there's a very great exactness here. In this sheepfold, you have various flocks, because the sheep all together here are speaking of the true people of God. Always beware of any church, any denomination, any assembly. Always beware of any one of those that claims to be the exclusive and only flock of God. That they are the only true church. That they are the only people of God. It's not true. That sheepfold contains the flocks of many pastors.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.